What's up, everyone? Welcome to Narrative Calculus, the podcast show where we analyze everything from movies to TV shows, books, musicals, and everything in between. I'm Jonathan, a filmmaker, and this is...
Ty, a guy who just watched 1 hour and 32 minutes of a girl doing ballet.
Yeah, that sounds a bit weird when you put it like that.
Yeah, take that out of context. Feel free to take that out of context, everybody.
Yeah. The movie we're going to be reviewing today is the story of Isabel, an aspiring dancer who all at once wants to get out of her sister's shadow, become a better dancer, get into the Nutcracker. Isabel dances into the spotlight, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, you can tell from that title alone, this is probably... This is the kind of movie that you would only watch under duress, like with a gun next to your head or something.
No, this is the kind of movie that you'd watch when you take the remote away from your sister, she starts crying. This is the kind of movie that you watch under those circumstances. It's how I watched it. But let's not talk about that. Okay, so I think we got the plot summary out of the way. You want to start with Isabel?
Yeah, this movie. I almost don't want to. My notes here I have more notes here than I think I've ever done in any other movie so far. Like, it's definitely thicker than usual. But then again, there are times where I literally put in like three lines per character theme. So
yeah,
I mean it could just okay.
That's weird. I didn't have that much, but...
Yeah. I don't know, maybe it's just an off day today, but it's a weird day today, but either way. I forgot the main character's name. Jonathan, do you remember what
Isabel.
The name? Oh, okay, Isabel. It's in the title of the movie.
She's the one who dances into the spotlight, remember?
I never saw any spotlight. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, there was like the snowflake dance, right? There was like a spotlight, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
This movie was a flying mess. And not in the sense that, like, they were trying unbelievably hard to do something, but more in the sense that you can tell that in almost every aspect of this, they weren't trying anything at all. This is your absolute average, bone average, you know... D-grade
Believe in
movie.
Yourself.
Yeah, it is kind of, pure recycled, and like and it's not even the kind of recycled material where they put in extra effort into it. You can tell it took them all of about 2 minutes to write up the script.
2 minutes.
The main character has her motivations are completely ridiculous.
Yeah,
her characterization is ridiculously inconsistent. So you get this really dumb opening that shows... I wasn't sure who was Isabel for about the first 4 minutes. I wasn't sure. There was just this terrible music playing in the background making me want to just claw out my own ears. So we get to the main character, Isabel. And she seems like a nice enough girl. And... That's it. That's her entire character for about the first 20 minutes. Eventually, we start getting some hints that things might be worse, and I'm totally monopolizing the podcast right now. I'm sorry. You want to say
something? No, you're fine. No, it's okay.
So, it starts... So, after about 15 minutes, we finally get to start to get some inkling of characterization after about two dance scenes where she's jumping up and down on the table... Which is a totally normal thing, I believe, right? In performing arts schools.
That was a little weird. I wasn't sure that kids break out into dance and song in the middle of lunchtime. You know, maybe that's a normal thing over there. I could be wrong, but the only thing I have to say about that is that, like, if you like took it like a musical, like, you know, how Hamilton was a musical, then it works, but this movie doesn't go in that direction. Like, you know, if it was more of like a high school musical thing, it kind of seemed like they were doing that for a second with that, you know what I mean?
Kind of,
where it's like a musical in the school. Yeah, I thought they didn't go that direction. So
no, it is completely random too, like slightly. We'll go more in depth on this, I think, on the plot section, but like It makes no sense in context, no matter which way you look at it. It is completely just out of nowhere. Hey, let's go show off our BFF dance. It's...
Let's go show off the BFF dance.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Jonathan, okay. Jonathan, so for our next YouTube video on the channel, are we going to do our BFF dance, dude?
Sure, we'll do the BFF dance. It'll be on the YouTube channel. Be sure to subscribe to that. We'll have a link down below. Watch the BFF dance.
No.
On Zoom.
50,000! 50,000 subscriber special, man!
50,000 subscribers special, yes! It's happening! 50K. Oh, we will do 50K subscribers, and we'll do the BFF dance. We'll copy them as best we can. But, okay. So, I want to go back to something you said about Isabelle's, like, her motivations in the movie, right? You kind of said they were all over the place.
So, the main problem, like, usually in these kinds of films, you have an external objective that the main character is trying to get to, and it's usually some wide overreaching goal. You know, I want to become, maybe not always, sometimes it can be specific, you know, I want to get into XYZ school of performing arts, right? Yeah. And that's the dream for the entire thing. And she has some internal motivation for wanting to do that. Sometimes it's something as innocent as, I love to dance, and I want to be better at it. Sometimes it's something more nefarious, like, I feel like this is the only way that all of my self-worth is contained within dancing, and I feel like if I don't do that, then I'll become a worthless person. You know, so, okay, so in the last 5 minutes, I've managed to come up with a more compelling plot than the writers of the script. American Girl, hit me up, I'll go ahead and...
It's so sad, they stop making movies.
Really?
They don't make movies anymore. They actually, yeah, they made like, I don't know, like 10, and then they just stopped. It's kind of sad, but...
The end of an era. It's the end of an era.
R.I.P. End of an era. That's good, yeah.
Her motivation.
Yeah, so... We were talking... To get a little...
Oh, you go ahead.
Just to get a little specific on what Ty was talking about. So, during the whole time, there's like these four main arcs. So, it's basically her trying to believe in herself again, which is... kind of, I'd say the main motivation is like believing in herself again, but it's still all over the place, and it was really in your face. Like, so much of the movie is just her like whining. You notice that?
Oh yeah, and like, it's and
how
they...
can I believe in myself again? I know I'm a good dancer. What's going on? That's most of the movie.
Show don't tell is, you know, I wouldn't have minded if they had expressed it through conversation, if they had done it subtly, you know, like, just drop a little hint here that her self-confidence is a total mess. I can appreciate that. You know, you don't always need to express it through purely physical action. No, they, subtlety. Children are too dumb to understand that kind of thing, man. Children are just too foolish to understand subtle complexities. While also being able to appreciate a very complex art like dance at the same time. Like, okay.
Yeah.
You know?
So, and while that's going on, she's also talking about not messing up in the Nutcracker, which is I would say, the main plot element. But then there's also the dance school that she wants to get in New York City over the summer. And then she wants to get out of her sister's shadow. And that's another point that I wanted to talk
about. And
the
weird parts are when she isn't hurt by any of those, when she acts totally normal and has no problem dancing, like, just randomly for about 3 minutes she'll be like, yeah, whatever, everything's cool. And I'm not talking about past the first midpoint, you know, like early on, her and her BFF, before they do the BFF dance, they get up there and they start dancing in the cafeteria, and it's like, whatever, no problem, everything's fine. Like, what?
That was you mean the first cafeteria dance?
I think so, but I'm not sure.
No, she doesn't dance in that one. That was her sister.
Oh, yeah. But there is one... You know what I'm talking about, though, right? There is one dance where she, like, randomly breaks out into dance, and it's like, everything's fine.
Yeah. But I think it's kind of implied that most of the time it's because of, like, other people that come in who she's kind of, like, associated with so long with, like... you know, kind of like criticizing her, and she kind of feels insecure dancing in front of them, and, you know, that's the main reason that, I don't know, it does a little bit come out of nowhere, but I mean, that's how I saw it. So one of the other things I wanted to talk about was her relationship with Jade.
Ah, yes.
Which there were aspects about it. Oh, I guess, do you have anything else to say about Isabel?
Because nah,
I'm
kind of
leaning more to going to Jade.
You go ahead.
Can we talk about Jade?
Yeah. Jade? Yeah.
Okay. She was, I think, she had my favorite arc in this movie. I really liked, even this is the one thing that did have a little subtlety. I was really into her thing about, like, feeling pressured to be perfect. Because even though it kind of, like, seems like, oh, you know, it's just, she's just perfect, you know. It felt a lot more relatable than what Isabel was going through.
And I think part of it...
Not necessarily just the theme itself, but in the way it was presented, because...
Oh, yeah, that too,
life,
that
well,
too.
Well, in real life, we're not going, my problems, why can't I do it? It's a lot more subtle. It's just, you know, a moment here, a moment there. It's just kind of a frame of her face, like, kind of reacting to everything else, which is how it normally happens, which kind of lets us put ourselves in her shoes and see it a bit more from her perspective, which I thought was pretty cool. I don't know.
That I can actually agree with. I can actually agree with that. Part of it is because she's a side character, so she gets to have less screen time and a little bit less personality. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, I can pretty much agree with that. And especially, like, yeah. They never shoved it into your face until that last, you know, third plot point-ish where they
like
start screaming.
Out.
Yeah, that yeah, is yeah, the yeah. only time that it ever takes center stage. The rest of the mm-hmm. time, it's pretty low-key, and I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
That's good. It's good. It's solid character yeah. development.
I really liked also the line she had, like, where I think it was, where Isabel says, don't blame me for your problems, and she says, then stop blaming me for yours. I think that was just a really great line that kind of summed up everything that she was feeling in that moment, and I don't know, I just liked it a lot.
I feel it's a little bit cheesy.
It's a little on the nose, yeah, but, well, I don't know, it was okay for me. That's basically all I have to say for Jade, good side character.
Yeah.
You have anything else? Yeah.
I would say, I would like to comment, though, that both their personalities, especially since she's a side character, but she still doesn't get to run away from this. Like, all of these characters have negative personality traits.
Oh, well, you know, the biggest thing that my sister told me is their biggest personality trait is they giggle. There is so much giggling and laughing in this movie.
The laughing.
It is all over. We can't go, like, 5 minutes of the...
Dude.
That has to...
Let's just make a laugh compilation at this point. Forget the rest of the podcast.
Yeah.
We can just fund the entire podcast with just nothing but them laughing.
And another thing is that, like, what I noticed in there, Isabel and... Jade's interactions is a lot of the things they say to each other could be, like, out of context taken as passive aggressive, but then it's just like it does the laugh, yeah,
like every time they say something you could 100% take that out, and like the construction of the sentence genuinely makes it seem like they're, oh, good job, sis. Good job. I'm so happy. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud.
Or it's like, you're so perfect at everything.
You're so perfect at everything. Oh, gosh.
And the other thing is that was really weird about Jade, the thing I didn't like about her is everyone says, your sister's such a legend. Like, what does that even mean? Like, what does that imply?
More of the show, not tell stuff. And that's another thing that ticked me off about a lot of this, and I think we'll talk more about that in the plot, is that so much of what they say feels like, you know, you kind of tilt your head at their reactions because you don't understand at all what the big deal is. I'm doing a double pirouette, triple flying backflip, and I'm like, I don't know what half of those words mean, so, like, yeah.
I think the pirouette is like where you like right put your hands over your head and you like spin around on like your toes. I think that's the pirouette. At least I'm pretty sure.
That this is something, you know, this is something that like as far back, even in anime, like anime has a strong problem with telling and not showing. And the reason for that is because it's descended, is because Japan, my personal theory is that Japan got introduced to television and movie and all that stuff really, really late compared to the rest of the West, right? Because they were an isolated country. So what ended up happening is they never abandoned the kind of stage play style of most of their movies. All of it's structured like a stage play. So all of anime, a lot of anime has like tons of internal monologuing, lots and lots of, you know, Shakespeare, to be or not to be, my life, blah 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 blah, right? And it's pretty funny, but even they managed to figure this stuff out. Like they figure out how to explain what's going on in. I was watching this racing one earlier, and they figure out how to give you just enough detail to like get you to understand what's happening, but not so much that it overloads you. And they also make you care about it because the characters care about it. And you care about the characters, so in turn, you care about what's going on here. There's none of that here. They don't bother to explain anything. There's no context. You don't care in the slightest what happens to these people. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, that was actually one thing I forgot to say about Isabelle, was that if she always says like, you know, I love dancing and like I'm good at dancing. It would have been
Oh,
nice if we actually
yes.
got to get more of her like actually being good at and or loving dancing in some fashion.
Right. It's
Yeah. That would have
I
been
it felt
nice,
like,
but
especially to me as like someone who grew up, you know, I wasn't a huge fan of Taekwondo. I grew to deeply love the sport, right? And it's just it is the most, to me as a sportsman, it feels like the most insincere posturing when she says, "Oh, I love dancing. I love dancing. I love dancing so much." And it seems so awkward.
So you want to move on to Renata, who's basically. She
Mean
has, I
girl
think,
archetype.
the worst dialogue in the whole movie, I think.
Oh
I
my
think hers
gosh.
is the worst. The way she's exaggerated, like Isabel falls and she's like, can you believe her? It's so unrealistic because who would say that in real life? I mean,
Well,
it's so awkward whenever, yeah.
if at the very least, like, so if there had been consequences for her actions, I feel like that would have been one thing. If people turned to her and like, "What is wrong with you?" But there's nothing like that. It's just assumed that people would be. I feel what would have been far more realistic is maybe being passive aggressive, but just straight up saying, "Oh, look at her, she fell." And then nobody, and the teacher just standing there, not batting an eye, like, holy guacamole.
Yeah, it's like,
What?
how about we all focus on our own dancing? That's basically, yeah. The other thing that I did like about Renata, though, was I thought it was because in most movies like this, I think they would have gone the route of like, remember when they changed the snowflake dance?
Yeah.
This is such a weird sentence. Just like, yeah, when they changed the snowflake dance, but whatever. So when they do that, they were kind of like, you know, they were just talking about it amongst themselves. And in most movies like this, I feel like they would have just done it. But I think it's kind of cool that having like Renata be the person to like accelerate that, even though the teachers are like saying, I don't think they can handle that. I think it was just something a little more clever than most other movies in this league would have done. Like
That
having
is
her
fair.
actively progressing against Isabel.
Yeah,
I think that was a pretty good example of show don't tell.
usually it would be pure Deus Ex Diabolus, right? Like God suddenly decides he hates the main characters and bad things happen. Rocks fall, everyone dies, you know? I can appreciate that, but I feel that is more just bare minimum than it is. Good job, you managed to do something better.
Yeah, I don't have anything else to say about her, do you?
Yeah, you know, I suppose It's just she's a very boring character like the rest of them. It is, although I will say this, her character beats were a lot cleaner. There was absolutely no skin on her, no personality, if you know what I mean. None of the extras. Mm. But at the very minimum, they managed to hit the sore skeleton, the core skeleton beats of what a character arc like that should go, which they failed with, like, every single, our main character.
The only other character I have here is Jackie Sanchez, but I don't really have anything to say about her other than she was just bad acting, bad dialogue.
Jackie basically. Sanchez? You mean the ballet person?
Was she nice? She totally was.
Jonathan, can you believe it? We just saw Jackie Sanchez. I don't know who that is or why she's important or why she matters in this story, but I mean, everybody else in the story is going like, wow, so I guess she must be important.
That reminds me, one other thing about the dialogue is, if you remember that, this one scene that's just so horrible in my eyes. Like, you know, I can vouch for this movie I vouch for this movie a lot more than most people would. But this one scene is, like, to me, the worst scene in the whole movie because of just so how on the nose it is and how just, like, it's just telling everything. So they say, I can't believe we get to dance with Jackie Sanchez.
Oh my gosh,
favorite ballet dancer. That line is like, who says that? Who says that our favorite ballet dancer
Dude,
is like, and then she says, and then wait just a second. She says, the Nutcracker is the best ballet ever. It's all about, and she goes through the whole plot. I don't remember what it was, but she just outlines the whole plot of the Nutcracker. And just like, come on, who wouldn't love that?
Guys, did you know?
Talks
it's,
like that.
It's Steven Spielberg, our favorite movie director. The guy who made Indiana Jones. Did you know that, Jonathan?
The story of a man who's after the Ark of the Covenant. Of the Nazis.
Yes. Let me pull up his entire.
Him. It's him.
Let me pull up his entire Wikipedia page and expound to you all of his virtues.
Wow, that. Yeah, that scene.
That is a truly awful piece of dialogue. It is really bad. You are right on that.
Screenwriters, take note. Do not ever do anything like this.
Like, I don't mind exposition in small amounts, but at the bare minimum, at least write it to sound somewhat natural. Don't string together sentences in the most, like, awkward, you know? Just, oh, gosh.
Expository. I think that's everything I have to say about the characters. That's basically everything. Any last things you want to say? Or should we move on to plot?
Yeah, I don't have anything else here in my notes.
Well, for the plot, it was kind of drab most of the time, but it really felt like nothing was really happening the whole movie except for the end. Like, it was just people going to school and to dance routine and going home. There was like, it was all story. There were
no major disasters up to like the very end, and even that got solved in like 5 minutes. There was no tension over like what will happen. Will she manage to do this? Something terrible just happened. How will she manage to figure her way out of this one? And there's absolutely nothing like that. It is linear, straight disaster to solve, disaster to fixing problem, disaster to fixing problem.
Especially when, well, so I think like the biggest thing in this movie that happened at least was like the sister fight. And I think that could have been like a really, really good emotional beat if they had like kind of like built up some tension before then.
Think how great it would, if they had extended it out too, like, you know, they don't solve it in 5 minutes. The Nutcracker premiere is happening literally tonight. She doesn't show up to the rehearsal. It seems like she isn't going to show. And at the last freaking minute, up to the last minute, She barely manages to get in, barely manages to convince them to let her play her part, and then barely manages to pull it off. Barely met, like, that would have been pretty
cool. Yeah, and if it was caused by the fight, that would be even better.
What do you mean?
Like, if the reason she wasn't showing up was because of the fight.
Yeah.
That would make an even better, like...
Oh, yeah, because it's...
Between the two.
It's so much more painful because of the internal conflict, like, with the relationship versus this external... it is internal, but it feels external. I'm not good enough because I slip on the pavement and, like, I don't have the bare minimum of power necessary to get up and do it again. That would have been pretty sick.
One other thing I wanted to add about Isabel, though, now that we're just kind of like talking about their relationship, is that one of the biggest things that this is like something my sisters pointed out, and they're like, my sisters are 4, 8, and 12. Yes, 4, 8, and 12. And they were able to notice that, like the whole movie, they were like, well, of course she's not a good dancer. She never practices. Her sister's practicing all the time. She's always like... and they were... And it was funny because that's a very, very valid point. It's like, if you want to get better, maybe just... I know it wouldn't make for the most entertaining story, but it's very illogical when you think about it because it's like, the whole plot could just be solved maybe if you practice a little more.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and it's funny because sports movies figured this out like ages ago, right? I mean, every sports movie in existence has an epic training montage where they struggle and like it's epic when they finally manage to do the thing that they weren't able to do.
Wait, pause. I just want to plug our Rocky review right here. If you haven't checked that out, we've reviewed all four Rocky
movies. Yes, training movie. The fifth one does not exist.
It doesn't exist.
It's not real.
Just wanted to say that. Okay, you can continue. Sorry, I just wanted to give us a shameless plug, so.
Okay, yeah, so sports movies figured this out ages ago. Like, all it would have taken is, like, just like 5 or 6 hours to watch through a few sports movies, and you would have had the formula for figuring out how to do this thing. It's weird. It's really weird.
That's just about everything with the plot. Do you have anything else to say about...
Yeah, I suppose I can just reiterate that, according to my notes here, conflict is pretty much vacant for, like, huge sections of the film, the central conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And there is zero evolution of that conflict when it comes in. We were talking about disasters earlier, right? Love Finds You and Charm was a total mess, partially because there was no evolution to the problem. She didn't go out and get into trouble, and then, like, things would get worse and worse. It was just her constantly whining about how much of a... how sad her life is, pretty much, right? Yeah.
But there was the change of the snowflake dance, though.
That felt so artificial, though, right?
I don't know. I didn't mind it.
Well, she manages to solve her problem temporarily because it turns out that it was an emotional block. It wasn't a physical block, right?
Yes.
So it feels super disingenuous when a physical problem pops up. And instead of saying, well, I mean, I've already got the emotional block fixed, so this should be no problem. Instead, it becomes, no, it's the end of the world. What will I do now? Like,
I see what you mean. Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, well, never mind then.
I think that's pretty much everything for me.
Yeah. I think we basically covered the story, too. I mean, if you have anything else to say on that, but...
Oh, I do want to point out one plot development that I thought was pretty hilarious. At one point, she's talking to her idol / mentor, and she says, and she asks, did they really let me in because of my sister? And then she turns towards the girl, toward Isabel, and she says, no, They let you in because of me. Oh, that's so much better. Okay, favoritism from the mentor is a lot better than favoritism because of the sister. My mistake. Sorry.
Well, I think that can I didn't feel that way at all because of the way she saw her dance. Like, if she had never seen her dance before, and she just messed up like that, and she had, you know, no prior experience, then yeah, of course, that would have felt really out of nowhere. But when she sees her at the benefit dance, it kind of does make it valid because she's seen the potential there.
Yeah, it's just taken out of context. It sounds really hilarious, you know?
Yeah. So, do you want to move on to the story? Anything else? To be honest, I think we've covered the story as along with the plot.
I mean, there's not really much to talk about. It's just generic. Yeah. I don't believe in myself because mom, I can't do the pirouette right. And mom, mom, can you help me, mama? That sounds mean. Okay.
Yeah.
It is 100% your generic. You have to learn to believe in yourself and be yourself, and mm-hmm. also insert generic motivational advice here.
It's like that one line from the Lego movie. It's like, I read it on a cat poster.
So it must be true. I learned to believe. Listen, you have to learn to believe in yourself by accepting yourself for who you are and believing that you can do the thing that seems impossible. Yeah. But in reality,
Actually, you know, thinking about it though, that actually is the same story as the Lego movie.
It actually is, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But it's a very used trope. So
the main problem, of course, is that the execution is wildly awful compared to the Lego movie, which hit every story beat possible, smacked everything out of the park.
Okay, so you wanna go to the tone, because that part, is there anything you have to say about that? I just had one thing to say about that, was that I already talked about this before with the plot, but everything that happened in this movie was drab. But the pacing wasn't too great either. And that was one of the reasons it got a little boring and you felt like you could, like, skip a few scenes, you know what I mean?
Well, that's part of it. That's part of what we were talking earlier about, the conflict shifting in and out of view, right? All of it feels unnecessary because none of it really advances the conflict very much. It's just, let's go dance on top of this cafeteria table, yeah!
Because that's what normal people do.
What, you're telling me you don't dance on top of your table occasionally? Man, if you don't do that at least once a week, you're the weirdo here.
Once in a while, maybe once in a while. I think we're ready to move on to the themes.
Okay. Oh jeez.
Yeah.
I mean, what
the biggest problem?
What can we even say here, to be honest?
Well, I actually so the biggest problem I had with the themes was every single one of them. Every single one is told to the audience.
Oh, yeah.
Actor. None of them are shown by their actions at all. Like, you know, it would have been okay if they had said the themes and we saw it through the character's actions. I would have been okay with that. That would have been fine. But no, it's just believe in yourself. You can do it. You're a good dancer the whole time. It's just exposition.
What would have been good is if, like, it had caused a ripple effect before it ever even reached the dancing aspect of her life. Like, in other parts of how she talks or what, you know, like in those movies where, like, they suddenly get a confidence boost, right? They start walking around with their back straight and they've got their shoulders back, right? You know, they're ready to take on the world. And everybody looks at them and says, yo, what's up with you today, man? You seem really, and he's like, I've realized the truth of the universe. I'm ready to take on the world, man. Fight me. And then, yeah, right. And this is just kind of, she's giggling a lot more and whining less, and nobody really cares either way. So
yeah, that's basically the biggest problem is none of the themes are shown by the character's actions. That's really all I can say about it.
I think it did show up a little bit in the sense that she managed to do the epic pirouette double spin, whatever it is.
But I feel like this is more of a thing that should have happened during more of the everyday life kind of thing. You know? Not just everyday life, just doing whatever, but like during the everyday choreography. I don't even know what you'd call that.
Rehearsal? Practice?
Yeah, that's it. Rehearsal, yeah. If it's shown through on that, and it did a little bit the first time when she learned the visualization thing, that was okay, I guess. But it's kind of scrubbed right away, so then it doesn't really have any other effect. But that's all I have to say. You have anything?
Yeah, your sisters have interesting taste in movies.
It's not horrible, you know. I don't know. They're 100% the target demographic.
Press X to doubt.
They are 1,000,000% the target demographic. So, I guess they kind of did a good job though, doing what they set out to do.
I mean, like if you set your bar low enough, you can achieve anything.
that's a good point. That's a very good point. Okay, yep. So you want to move on to our next thing, which is the script/acting. Okay. This is going to be an interesting part.
Okay.
So, well, I have a couple things to say about the acting. Is that the actress for Isabel? You can tell that she's trying, right? She doesn't have the chops yet. You know, I don't know, or maybe she was just a dancer and her parents had like in on her, like, I don't know, LinkedIn description or whatever. It was like dancer, actor, and her parents just threw actor onto there because they thought, you know, it might help her career a little bit. And somebody saw it and she auditioned for this part and they kind of like, they threw her in an intensive acting course for a month and then they said, here, go, and they had her do the movie. Like, you know, you never know. So
yeah,
the child actors are excusable, but the adult actors are just as bad. So I don't know what to say about that.
I think it's the same thing as Love Finds You in Charm. They probably blew most of the budget on like the opening scene or something. Yeah. That's my assumption.
All those drone shots of Washington D.C. drained the budget.
You know, a drone is like $500. So, that's all $500 right there.
This movie was produced by Universal though, so they had money, I guess, which that makes it even worse. But.
Okay. I'm looking up Jade, the actor for Jade. So you know what her trademark is according to IMDb?
What?
Her long blonde hair. I don't know why. Really? That's literally what it says. I was going to be critical on Jade. I would have assumed that she had at least a bit more acting experience, but looking through here, like, before this movie, her last one was like in 1998 when she was like a kid or something, and she never touched any other movie until that one. So she's excused. Grace Davidson, you're excused for your subpar acting skills. But yeah, this is all pretty.
And the script again. There were, we talked about that. There actually was some lines I did like. I thought was funny, this one line at the end where Renata and Isabel kind of like learn to get along. And Renata says, it's an Isabel original, just like your clothes. And she said something, you know, your clothes, you have cool clothes or something like that, right? And she says, and Isabel's like, the clothes you're always making fun of? I don't know. I just thought that line was kind of funny. There were a couple little moments like that where, I don't know, maybe the
scriptwriters temporarily gained 5 IQ
points. Some abilities. Yep.
Their collective IQ managed to reach the triple digits. Wow, that is very, oh geez, that's harsh. Sorry. Yep. Okay.
Okay.
I would like to point out some of my favorite other lines here. You're okay, so lucky. Jackie Sanchez. And just repeat that about 5 times in your head in 30 different intonations by 7 different people. Mm-hmm. I am wondering if the neck tilts were in the script. Like, were they being told to constantly tilt their neck?
I didn't notice that, though. You noticed that I didn't.
I felt like it was constant. Like, they were constantly just all over the place.
One of the other things that annoyed me about the script was half of it was just giving out compliments and denying compliments.
It is like that.
Giving compliments and denying said compliments. That was like the whole thing. It's like you're so good at dancing. That happened quite frequently, and it was very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable.
One thing I do have here, hold on, I'm checking my notes. One of my favorite lines here is, like, there are so many awkward pauses in this movie that they lead to just the... So I just gave you, like, a tip of the tip of the iceberg there with the, what was it again? That person's favoritism that got you in. It was mine. And the reason that made it funny was because she paused for, like, 5 seconds just leaving it there. And it's like, oh, okay. And here's another one right here. Your accomplishments don't mean anything to us. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Unless you're happy about them. Oh, okay. You sure? And it's in so many other places. Even if it doesn't change the meaning, it's like they're talking normally and then they'll pause. And then they'll continue talking. Did you notice that? Did you notice that at all?
A little bit, I guess. Yeah.
Okay, should we just go to music and visuals?
Yeah.
So one thing I really wanted to...
The soundtrack was amazing. Lyrically, musically, it was astounding.
A masterpiece.
Like lyrics, like the brilliance of lyrics, like "You are your own star and it's time to fly," repeated 50 times. There's nothing but musical and lyrical brilliance. I don't even know what to say here. Like it left me awestruck.
Personally, I prefer the bits where whenever she was visualizing, there would be. Ooh, hey, ooh, ooh, hey, like, ooh, 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 yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
That was, yep, also
It is very odd. Are we watching The Lion King here, or Isabelle dance into the spotlight?
We're watching The Lion King.
It sounds like The Lion King soundtrack, and it's so random.
I know. And the title of that song, too, it's... Lily Pond Dreams, you know, what a title. That just that tells you everything right there. That's
Justin Bieber, that's eat your heart else. Out. So, one thing I really wanted to ask you about was, like, I noticed that all of these movies, like, they kind of look the same. Did you notice that? Like, these kind of B-grade girly movies, they all have the same kind of lighting effect. Do you notice that at all, or is that just me and my, you know, uneducated.
Yes. All of the lighting is just, they go just purely soft Rembrandt lighting, which means, you know what that means, right?
I have no clue. Can you explain for me and the audience?
So there was this painter, I think, his name was Rembrandt.
I know who Rembrandt is.
One of his, like, trademarks was he had this little triangle under one of the cheeks. Half of the face would be lit and the other would be darkened. And on the darkened side, there'd be a little triangle of light on it. And
that's
called Rembrandt lighting. And this movie uses that technique extensively. And the whole thing is, all the lighting is super soft and glowy, and it's like a dreamy effect.
So why does that tend to feel kind of is it, why does that feel kind of like cheapish or off? Is it just because it's overused in these kinds of films, or?
Yeah, it's just unoriginal. They don't, it's because it doesn't further the story at all. You know, it's kind of like when, like, it's, if it's sad, then you put the sad piano music. It's the same thing, basically, just with visuals.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. It's like, you know, the sad piano music. It's basically the same thing except with lighting. They want everything to be pretty and nice looking, and so they use that lighting.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, I was just wondering, because I feel, it really seems like all of these kinds of, you know, B-grade, children's movies, they all have that same, I was just wondering about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's right. And talking about the B-roll shots, though, for some reason, like, the movie would inexplicably just show drone shots of Washington, D.C. for no reason. I actually want to quote Casey Neistat. I'm gonna cut a few things out, but he said, and actually, in this video, if you want to check it out, how to vlog like Casey Neistat, or Casey Neistat's Guide to Filmmaking, something like that. He says, no one cares about your stupid drone shots, your stupid time lapses. And the director of this movie needs to hear that, because nobody does. He says, like, basically, when it doesn't further the story at all, when it's just there to look cool, no one cares. And that's never been more relevant than right now, because, yeah, it's really,
it's horrifically
just out of nowhere.
It's just completely random, totally overused.
That's basically all I have to say about the movie.
Circling back to the music, I do wish that rather than the most generic nutcracker, every single movie that ever plays classical music and involves girls in some way always has the nutcracker. Why? Why? Is that the only... You know, I'm telling you. What would have been amazing is if they had played some Stravinsky Rite of Spring with them, like, spasming on the ground like they're epileptic, you know? That would have been technique right there. That would have been pretty great.
Okay, well, I'm gonna say something that's gonna get all these TikTok dancers triggered, okay? You ready?
Go for it.
Ballet is a dead art form.
Ah!
I heard that, like, the 50% of all revenue that comes from ballet is through the Nutcracker.
That is just sad, man.
50%. So, yeah, there wasn't much to work with here in terms of titles that anyone would have known of. Like, I don't know. Could you name any other ballets? I don't know if you're a good example, but... because I can't.
I'm not sure if it counts or not. I suppose Olympus. I'm not sure if that's the name, Olympia or something. But it's really more of an opera, actually. So, yeah, I mean, I know a few opera pieces, but ballet, no.
And I heard that, actually, for the Nutcracker, that the person who wrote it didn't even like it.
Tchaikovsky?
It wasn't a success at first, but, like, the reason it became so prevalent in the Americas was because during, like, World War One or Two or something like that, the soldiers coming home to America wanted to, like, get something for their families from where they were in, like, Germany or wherever they were at in Europe, and so they just
got a bunch of nutcrackers
because and they brought them home.
Why?
And that's kind of the reason. I don't know. It was just something they had there, I guess, and that's the reason. I guess we can thank those men for the increasing relevance of the Nutcracker, or irrelevance, depending on how you look at it. But
what was once a respected cultural, you know, like, it turns out that Nutcracker the art of making nutcrackers was, like, a respected cultural thing, and then they took it and it turned into this mass-produced monster. Let's go.
Do you have any other quick thoughts? I really said it, everything I have to say about this movie. I have nothing left.
I really wish the most entertaining part to me was when I thought that Isabel was about to punch the Rennell or whatever her name is in the face. I thought for a second there Jane. Might be some
Jane.
Yeah.
Jade, Jade.
Not Jade, the black girl. Oh jeez. I mean, I she's like the only black girl. It's the best distinguishing identifier. Sorry. That,
okay, yep.
I was hoping that she would punch her in the face.
What part are you talking about, though? Are you what the part where like they have the little dance off and he's like, "You ruin everything. You're gonna ruin the play and you're gonna ruin the thing."
Yeah, I was hoping for like a cat fight. Yeah,
that would have made the movie.
Oh, that would have been amazing.
That would have been. And you something. Know,
it would have made so much more money because all of a sudden you have mass publicity because Universal encouraging children to fight each other, little girls to fight each other, and it's like.
And they just start doing some sort of like dance jiu-jitsu thing.
That would have been amazing.
It's like one of their other classes they have at that school is like dance jiu-jitsu. Like, just something wacky like that.
That would have been so amazing.
That reminds me, though, this one part, though, that's just so... This is just the cringiest thing that happens in this whole movie to me and my sisters. It's just outlined. It's, like, burned in our eyes now. The part where, like, Isabel and Jade, it's like, Isabel, like, fake punches her in the face, and she does, like, a poof. Effect.
Oh, and then Jade.
I know. And then Jade does it twice. She's like, poof, poof.
What
and
is
then
she's that?
Like, pretending. I know. I was like, what are you doing?
why are you running? Why are you doing this?
Oh, man. Yep. That's okay. So Wait, why don't we give our final opinions and summaries?
One more quick thought. Weirdly enough, the only part of this that I could really appreciate was actually the ballet scenes, strangely enough. Because as a Taekwondo player, I could appreciate the level of skill that was actually going into it, weirdly enough. Like, as a 10-year-old or whatever, or even 13, I think, 12, I would have been laughing at this and going like, man, look at them, they look so dumb. Here, I think it's still, like, unbelievably cringy. But I can appreciate the level of craftsmanship and, like, muscular strength required to do these ridiculous stuff. Just an observation.
I didn't appreciate it at all. I thought it was really boring. I'm gonna be honest. I thought it was really boring. You know what me and my sisters did, actually, is, like, when it was playing, we muted it and we put our own music on in the background to see if we could, like, make any funny correlations between what they were doing and the music.
Oh, dude, that's so great.
So we didn't have any, like, we don't appreciate anything.
Yeah, I was just able, because, you know, there's a lot of balance that's involved, especially in, like, the performance art aspect of Taekwondo, Pumse. There's a lot of balance involved, and I could appreciate the level of technique going into there was pretty impressive. Other than that, 90% of this movie, 99%, just total trash, man.
Okay, so I'm going to state my final opinion now. I really don't see this movie as trash. The kind of experience I have watching this is not like, oh, it's so horrible. It's like, man, this movie is bad, but I'm going to have fun with it. And I enjoy watching it. Like, with my little sisters and doing stuff like that. And even by myself. Even if it was just on, I would still sit down and watch it. Like, I really don't have anything against this movie. And there's a couple of... If there's going to be, you know, the critical person inside of me talking, then there's going to be a couple of things that I can appreciate about the filmmaking. But it really is just an experience for me. So, I'm rating this movie a 4.5 out of 10.
Yeah. For me... I couldn't even sit down to enjoy it. Like, there were about 10% of it was cringy enough to make it really entertaining, where it was like, oh gosh, why are they doing that? No, oh, please stop. You know what I mean? Right. And it's like, that was entertaining when it got like that, but the rest of it was just really just, when will this be over? Yeah. Another 45 minutes. Jeez. It wasn't even tiring like Kirk Cameron was, where it exhausted you to the depths of your soul. It was just
It did. That Kirk Cameron movie did exhaust me.
Yeah, go ahead and watch that if you haven't. That is probably one of our greatest reviews of all time.
Yep, probably.
Yeah, it wasn't just it didn't spiritually drain me like that movie did. It wasn't laugh out loud hilariously bad. There weren't a lot of good points either. The only parts that I even got slightly invested in were the ballet scenes, and that's not because they were well constructed. It's just because I can appreciate the performers for what level of effort is going in. And so overall, I'd have to give it, well, I suppose I, but in spite of all that, it's like there weren't a lot of scenes that were horrendously bad. It was mostly just meh all the way through. There weren't a lot of scenes that were hilariously bad. There weren't a lot of scenes that were horrendously bad. It was just, oh gosh, when will this be over? So I think I'd have to put it at a 4 out of 10. Wow, lots of words.
Yeah. Honestly, I enjoy this movie when I watch it, and I will watch it many more times. I can assure you of that. I will watch it many more times, but I don't know, that's just me. So I guess together, the Narrative Calculus podcast gives Isabelle Dances into the Spotlight. Can I round it up to 4.5?
Yeah, round it up. Go ahead.
A 4.5 out of 10.
Jonathan takes a shot from his water glass there. Probably to help him with the fact that he just gave this movie a 4.5 instead of the 4 that it deserved.
If you enjoyed this episode of Narrative Calculus, don't forget to subscribe. And if you want to help spread the word, be sure to leave a 5-star review down below and tell your friends to subscribe. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, really. And be sure to check out our other episodes as well as our YouTube channel, which is up right now. We're gonna have some more shorts there. We're gonna have some original content there, some video essay style videos. So be sure to keep your eye out for that because we're really excited about what we're gonna be doing there. And I guess that's it. So we'll see you next time. Bye, everyone.